Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to begin reading in verse 16 of this 11th chapter. And those verses go through verse 33. I want to speak to you on the theme of Christ honoring credentials. Let me tell you why. Contextually, Paul's credentials are called into question. He's accused of not really being an actual apostle, and we've got some people who have followed him in the places where he travels to try to put the bad word on him and criticize him and say that, you know, he claims to be an apostle, but he wasn't chosen like the rest of them. And he tells about all these cock and bull experiences about his conversion on a Damascus road. And anything that they could bring up to disqualify him, they sought to. And so what they did, and we'll see in the text, is that these false teachers who followed him, false apostles, tried to give their own credentials. And it put Paul in a position of having to try to defend himself, something no one really wants to have to do. You and I know that credentials are qualifications. Nurses are credentialed one way. Real estate brokers are credentialed another way. Mechanics are credentialed another way. Attorneys are credentialed. Every profession has certain qualifications where a person becomes credentialed. And so Paul just had these enemies that said he wasn't the real thing. And so the question we find out of that to make that applicable to us is this. What really qualifies a person to do what they believe they're supposed to do for God? What qualifies them? Your pastor has shared with you in the past that God doesn't always call the qualified, but he does qualify those he calls. He credentials us. What are those credentials? And Paul seems to tell us, here are the things that are the true credentials, remembering that he had accomplished much as a Jew, as a Pharisee, as a Hebrew, but he said, everything I've accomplished, I count as refuse. So if he counted his accomplishments as nothing, what did he count as being the things that really credentials any of us, himself or you or me, to do the work that we feel that God is calling us to do as his children? That's a valid question, and so I want to answer that today. We know that Paul endured a lot to do what God wanted him to do, and you and I know that if any other person in any generation does what God wants them to do, it will cost them something. In fact, what's interesting, and this may be the greatest challenge anyone faces, what we find in the New Testament is that 12 times the New Testament tells us these words, love one another. 12 times. Think about that. Must have been important. God only had to say something one time for it to be so and to be followed. But 12 times the New Testament says love one another. 9 of the 12 times John the Apostle said love one another. So now if we love as Christ loved, what does that kind of love look like? Because that kind of love may or may not be what we often hear it to be today, but it will indeed qualify you to do what God's calling you to do. I want to begin by reading in that 11th chapter, verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. Now, I want to tell you what we're looking at and looking for, so you'll easily see it as we walk through this text. Sometimes the wording of Scripture is not spoken in the vernacular like you and I speak it, and we can sometimes miss it. In fact, if you're honest and have met with people and traveled a great deal to other parts of the country, they don't always talk like we talk. We don't always understand them like we understand some other people. So with that said, here's what we're looking for in verses 16 through 23. One of the things that qualifies a person as a Christ-honoring credential is that that person will speak honestly in their dealings or in its dealings. So let's look at verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. Is that fair enough now? He says, I don't want you to think I'm a fool. Then he said, if otherwise, meaning if you do think I'm a fool, yet as a fool receive me that I may boast myself a little. You folks been crowing about who they are. And, of course, what we know is happening here, we're finding that some of the Corinthian believers are dangerously getting to the place that they believe these people. And so he said, if you think me a fool, I hope you don't, but if you do, then as a fool, receive me and let me boast a little bit about who I am. Verse 17, that which I speak not after the Lord. In other words, bragging now that I'm about to do is not something God's commanded me to do, but as it were, foolishness in this confidence is even though I'm acting foolish, I'm doing this to show you the confidence that I have in my own credentials. Verse 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, in other words, those other men keep telling you how wonderful they are, he said, I'll glory also. Verse 19, for ye suffer fools gladly. It appears to me, said Paul, that you permit them to do what they're doing, seeing ye yourself are wise. Now what he means is, you think you're wise, and so you're gladly listening to these fools. Verse 20, for ye suffer, you permit, here's how I know that, you're permitting if a man brings you into bondage. You're permitting that a man devour you. You're permitting these false teachers to take of you. And if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. Verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I'm bold also. He said, are they Hebrews? Are they really Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? Then so am I. So as the Corinthians at this point in these verses, many were being deceived by these false apostles who came from Jerusalem, pointing out their so-called accomplishments for Christ. He says, you are in danger of being really exploited by them. Now notice what he says was happening to them. You're permitting them, verse 19, you're permitting them so much that they are bringing you into bondage. They're absolutely taking advantage of you. If a man exalt himself, you are absolutely seeming to embrace them to the point that they are smiting you in the face. And he said, now I know there in verse 21, I know that I don't seem strong and daring like that, but I do want to say to you that whatever they boast about, I can boast about the same thing. And that's where he says in verse 22, well, they're telling you they're authentic Jews. Well, I want you to know something. I'm a Hebrew also. And they're telling you in verse 22 that they're the seed of Abraham. I want you to know I am too. And in verse 23, they're telling you they're the ministers of Christ. He said, I want you to know I may sound like a fool, but I'm more a minister of Christ than they are. Well, folks, anybody that is embracing the truth and trying to build up others in the truth is always a greater minister of Christ than somebody that's trying to lead anyone astray. He said, in labors, I'm more abundant. In stripes, I've had more of them. He said, in prison, I've been in prison more than they have. And in death, my life has been threatened more than any of them. And that's what he says to them. Now, what we find is, in an attempt to open their eyes, he just tells it like it is in behalf of himself. And he begins to talk about his own accomplishments. But I want you to notice a couple of things they wanted to brag about. They wanted to brag about their ancestry in verse 22 and the things they had done in verse 23. And folks, the bottom line is this. If my forebears came over on the Mayflower, that doesn't make me anything special. God is not credentialing me because of who my ancestors are. Your ancestors may have hung from a tree, but that doesn't mean that you've got to be that way. You are credentialed because Paul shows us that the first mark of being credentialed is that you will speak honestly about the facts at hand. And he is speaking, if I might say so, brutally honest, both about them and about himself. It's not about your ancestors. It's not about where you went to school. It's not about how many degrees you have. Now, folks, education is wonderful, and I always tell young people, get all you can get. But remember, at the end of the day, it won't be about your degrees. It will be about your spiritual temperature as to whether or not God will use you. And these things that we often say are valuable say nothing about the true value of an individual. Then they wanted to talk about their activity, what all they had done. They boasted about, verse 23, what they've done. They said they was a minister of Christ. They said they had labored. They said they'd really had it hard. And so Paul is just speaking honestly in those verses regarding his dealings. He doesn't dress it up. He doesn't diminish it. He just tells it like it is. There was a old television program, if you remember this, you'll tell your age, called The Real McCoys. Walter Brennan, who played the grandpa, used to have this statement: no brag, just fact. Folks, there's no brag there. That's just fact. That's what Paul is saying. So the first thing is, we're going to be honest in our dealings. If you're not honest in your dealings, you're not credentialed to be used of God. Is that clear? Well, it must not be. I'm going to preach that whole thing over again. Let me ask that question one more time. If you're not honest in your dealings, you're not credentialed to be used of God. And folks, there can be dishonesty even in ministry. It's easy for a preacher to change his message based on his congregation. You say, well, why would somebody do that? Because they don't like to be shot at any better than you do. That's exactly why they do it. Number two. In verses 24 through 27, the credentialed individual will endure pain in his commitments. Look at verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. So five times I've been whipped on with 39 lashes. Y'all do the math. Thrice, verse 25, three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings, that's in my travels often, I've been in perils of water. I've been in perils with robbers. I've been in perils of my own countrymen, my own so-called friends, my Jewish people. They even caused trouble to me. I've been in perils by the heathen. I've been in perils in the city. I've been in perils in the wilderness. I've been in perils of trouble in the sea. I've been in perils among false brethren, verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, in order to do the work of God, Paul many times was deprived of sleep, food, basic necessities. He was at times cold and naked. Why? Well, because of the angry mobs and the people that caused the perilous conditions. Angry mobs, weak judges, people that don't want to do right, was many times disregarded, and it caused him a lot of trouble. And I am certain, though the scripture never says it, it must have gone through his mind at some point, this isn't fair. I'm going to let you in on something. It won't bring any chorus of amens. But you need to suck it up and recognize there will be times in your life and mine that we will go through some things that won't be fair. Now, you can either trust in the providence of God, or you can get bitter. You say, well, what's that about the providence of God? I don't know why it happened. I know what took place was not right, but God knew it before I knew it. It had to go through his hands and sift through his wisdom of sovereignty. And it happened for some reasons that I may not know on this planet. But it's all right. I've come out on the other side, and I'll be stronger for the experience. Now, you can either do that or be bitter. One or the other. He endured pain in his commitments. Let me tell you what I've learned about people. If you can't endure pain and you can't stand the heat, you won't be in the kitchen very long. You'll leave. You don't need a pastor that can't stand the heat. You don't need elders that can't stand the heat. You don't need deacons that can't stand the heat. In fact, you are a fair weather servant if you can't take some criticism and be treated on occasion unjustly. Am I for any of you being treated unjustly? No, I'll come to your defense. I'm not for that at all. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and I can't stop it, and you can't stop it. And one day there will be a God who will open books, and on that day, everything is going to be squared up then. And so just let him handle it. So I think I just said to you, cheer up, it could get worse. But if you're going to be credentialed, you got to endure pain in your commitments. And the question I think that is derived from that is that we will find out based on our pain what we are, how committed we really are. Number three, verses 28 and 29. If you are credentialed according to God's credentials, now you'll take some heart from this. You will experience stress in your assignments. Look at verse 28. Besides those things which are without, on the outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. That's not on the outside, that's something within. Verse 29. Who is weak and am I not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, well, beside all this, I have constant worry and burden of the churches. It bothers me, he said, what's going on in the churches. Who do you think makes mistakes and I don't know from about what's going on with you? When do you think there's a problem in the church and it doesn't sadden my heart? Who falls without longing and who helps? And who? What do you think might happen when the difficulty arises in your church? When somebody is spiritually hurt? When anger arises in the congregation? You think there's ever a problem and I don't care? We read it again with that thought. Beside those things that's outside where the enemies come after me, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Do you think there's somebody weak and it doesn't affect me? Do you think somebody's offended and it doesn't upset me? I burn not. Why would anyone want to put up with that kind of life? Folks, he's experiencing stress. Let me tell you something about church life. No complaint, no brag, just fact. When you folks sneeze at each other and get crossways, you know where it ends up? At my desk or with the elders, collectively. Every domestic problem becomes a church problem. Every one of them. Got nothing to do with the church, but when y'all can't get along outside the church, it comes inside the church. And I suggest to you, and I've often suggested this to you, that there is a phrase in the Holy Word of God that God's people do not know is there and never give consideration to, and it is the phrase Paul made, and the care of the churches daily. It doesn't matter where he went, the care of the churches is on his heart. You folks could pay for me all expenses, a 30-day vacation in Hawaii, and I would not be any different at heart being with Beth in Hawaii than I would sitting on this church parking lot, because I have you in my heart and I am your shepherd, your under-shepherd under the great shepherd. And when anything is wrong with you, spiritually or physically or otherwise, that mess goes to bed with me and I can't sleep for it. Because I want you at peace with God and peace with one another. You say, Pastor, you trying to put us on a guilt trip? You dang tootin' I am. If you would act a little better, think about it, Mom and Dad. Can your kids ever be cross with each other and you be happy about it? Not on your life. And when those in the church can't get along, it is a major source of stress. And he said one of the things that credentials anybody, Sunday school teachers fit this as well. You can't be a Sunday school teacher and not have stress over your assignment. You can't do anything in the service of God and not have some stress over your assignment. Why? Because we are broken people trying to work together in harmony, and we are just not that harmonious on occasion. And somebody has to kick out the traces and not do what they're told. No wonder to me, Sam Cathy had a bumper sticker printed. Little letters on it, Graceway Baptist Church, and the other in big letters said, just do right. Folks, if we would just do right by each other, it could be somewhat a utopia on earth. It'd be just such a wonderful place. But there is that streak of rebellion, that part of depravity, the remnants of it that are still present with each of us, me included. And it's just so hard for us to do it God's way. And then when we involve ourselves to try to help people, sometimes those people are upset with each other, and sometimes they are hurt. And if you ever dealt with animals, I'll just ask the question. I guarantee there'll be a chorus of answers. You know, even if the dog is yours and he's mad at another dog or he's hurting somewhere and you go touch him and try to deal with him, you know what a hurt dog will do? He'll bite you. I don't care how much he loves you, he'll bite you if he's hurting. And folks, God's people will bite you. Folks, some of them don't just have good teeth, they got fangs. And I mean, them suckers will go in. This is a terrible story to tell, but it's vivid. I was watching one of the Gunsmoke episodes as a kid, as a teen. This guy gets off his horse and gets down to get him some water. And as he gets his face down, all of a sudden you hear this sign, you know what it is. It's a rattlesnake. And he does this way immediately, and when he does, all of a sudden that rattlesnake popped him right there, and the scene is him trying to get that rattlesnake off of him. And I see that and I think, he's a pastor. That's what he is. I've been doing that some in my life. Yeah. Yeah. They'll strike you off your horse. They'll strike you on your horse. They'll get you coming in the building. They'll get you going out of the building. They'll get you on the parking lot. They'll get you at the retail store. Folks, it just happens. And it doesn't just happen to a pastor. It can happen to any of God's people. When you involve yourself in a healing ministry, and isn't that what we all need? We need the river, that water flowing out of the river to heal us all. I'm not completely healed yet, are you? Well, when we deal with each other, there's always that great danger that we get hurt in it. And then the devil tells you, you wasn't appreciated, and I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm just going home. And that's exactly what the devil wants us all to do, to go home, leave each other alone, and don't ever reach out to anybody for ministry. Let me tell you something, for every one that bites you, there'll be 10,000 that you'll be a blessing to. Go ahead and be willing to be bit, because that's part of the stress that goes with the assignment. Last but not least, this is a good note to end on. Verses 30 through 33, one of the marks of being credentialed by the Lord is you rejoice in your infirmities. Look at verse 30. Paul said, now, if I must needs glory, if I've got to boast, I really want to boast, he says, in the things which concern mine infirmities. You know what that is, don't you? Those are those things that's my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I lie not. I'm not telling you any lie when I say that. Verse 32. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison designed to apprehend me. You see what he said? He said, Artemis put out a bunch of guards, and they was desirous to lock me up. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and I escaped his hands. Paul said, rather than complain and say, you know, that just ain't worth it. My life was at risk. He said, if I'm going to brag, I'm not going to complain about that. I'm going to brag about the things that show just how weak I am. He said, God and the Father of the Lord Jesus be praised forever, and knows I tell the truth. And I almost hear him say, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And I almost hear Paul say, wasn't I popular? Didn't they appreciate me? Now, folks, the next time we think we got it rough, when did we really have to leave town under threat of being killed? You see, you and I look at Paul being taught at the feet of Gamaliel, and we look at being a Hebrew and a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and we say, boy, that guy was well trained, and he was. And we say, that's really what qualified him. But Christ is working in him something that makes by far a greater qualifier. In fact, Paul said, I count everything I've gained as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of the Son of God. And he really had come to the place, as he mentions, and we'll look in the 12th chapter, he said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When I get to the place to say, dear God, I'm tired of drinking bitter water. I've quit. I've give up. Lord, you've even hurt my feelings. And I've been angry. I've had numerous people say that to me privately. Pastor, I was angry at God and didn't know it at the time. And when I got that settled, I realized that it wasn't God that was ultimately wrong. It was me. And it gave me a capacity to deal with some difficulties that I wasn't willing to look at or deal with. Folks, when you kind of cross ways with God, you can't see anything straight. All your lenses got rose-colored then, and you couldn't see truth. So in order to see truth, you're going to have to be rightly aligned with the one who is truth. And I'll tell you the same things I've said to God more times than one. It wouldn't hurt you to say it. God, when I said it, never said back out to me out loud, aw. Been many times I said to the Lord, Lord, I made a mess of this. I could start back before I ever married and tell you things I told God. God, I made a mess out of this. Would you help me with this? Lord, here I am again. I've made a mess of this. Would you help me again? Y'all remember I've told you a story about when I was a little fella before I started to school. The one thing I wanted to do at night was pull my shoes off, but I couldn't untie my shoes without getting them in a hard knot. And every time I got them in a hard knot, I couldn't get them out. I pulled on them like plow lines. I could not get them knots out. So I'd have to call on my mama. You know what she told me? Quit pulling on your shoestrings. I can do it, and it won't get in a hard knot. Then I have to sit here and do this to fix the mess you've made. I didn't know that as a child that would become an illustration in my heart for God to say, quit pulling on the shoestrings. You don't know how to do it. You get your life in a hard knot, then you call on me to get it straightened out, and I get it straightened out, but you go through a lot of trouble you don't have to go through if you'll just let me do it. And this morning, God would say to some of us, quit pulling on those strings because you're getting life in a hard knot. Why don't you just relinquish and acknowledge that you can't do it, but I can, and ask me one more time, Lord, would you straighten out this mess I've made? You know what I've learned about him? He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's forbearing. He's kind. He's gentle. He's good. And he likes for his children to relinquish their stubborn rebellion, their self-sufficiency. You know why I didn't want to quit pulling on shoestrings? I'm going to show Mama I can do it. I never did show Mama I could do it. I teach people and tell them that's why I wear boots now. I never did learn to tie and untie shoes. But after a certain, are you listening? After a certain amount of maturity, I learned to tie and untie shoes. But folks, you and I have not reached enough maturity to do all the tying and untying. That's why we call him L-O-R-D. He does what we can't do. He fixes the messes we make, but he doesn't fix anybody's mess that doesn't say back to him, Lord, I'm ready to meet you on your terms. I'm sorry. I've messed it up again. I want that river to flow in me one more time. I'm tired of that bitter water. And folks, when the river of God's not flowing on you, the water's real bitter. Oh, it's bitter. Life is bitter, and it's not good. So today the Lord would re-credentialize you. Think about it. Here's a man that wasn't perfect. Are you listening? But for 21 centuries, he is still impacting people because he learned that apart from Christ, he could do nothing. Now, I don't know whether you and I are going to affect anybody for 21 more centuries, but I would like a shot at 21 more days, wouldn't you? And it starts today by relinquishing yourself to him. Father in heaven, we make no excuses, but we do make a lot of mistakes, and we do sin, and we are selfish, and we do get rebellious, and we are full of self, self-centeredness and selfishness. And today, may the river of God forgive our sin and flow across our lives and fill us with your Spirit as we truly repent of our problems, mistakes, and tied knots of yesterday. Sanctify these moments, and may God the Holy Spirit bring decisions in this moment to the extent that no human vessel can. Dear God, in mercy, transform our lives now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor in this time of invitation and response? If you